The committee will come to order. I would like to comment that I've used my new gavel.
Thank you.
Given to me by my wife for Christmas. It's from the wood from the Holy Land. So be careful what you say.
That be Watonwan County, Mr. Chair?
I think that'd be, you know, up for discussion. So, welcome to the first meeting of the Legacy Committee for the year. Well, there is a quorum present, and so we will approve the minutes of April 20th, 2015. Representative Green, have you reviewed those minutes? Would you care to summarize them for us?
I have reviewed them. I don't think I want to go into a summary, but they are exactly the way they were last year.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Representative Green. Representative Green moves approval of the minutes. Is there any discussion? Yes. Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the minutes for April 20th, 2015 are approved. We have a couple of items to deal with today. The first I'll explain after I do the second. We have a bill that will be before us today that is essentially the vehicle bill for what we will be assembling. But what I would like to talk about first, sure most of you are aware, that because of the because sales tax revenue did not meet the projections, we have a little bit of a deficit, and we have to deal with that in one way or another. For the first year of the deficit, it was only right around $1 million, and there were some cancellations that could cover that, and that was in the clean water portion. In the other portion, there's what is it, about 1.6 million.
Mr. Chair, I can give you a quick summary of the different funds if you'd like.
You want to do that for me, please?
I can do that for you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, the different funds based on the February forecast, the forecast was down about $18 million in sales tax related to legacy funds. So across the funds, it put some of the funds at very low balances or negative balances. The Outdoor Heritage Fund, since it only had 1 year's appropriation, had a balance of over $100 million. However, the council recommendations originally put it at a negative $617,000. They made supplemental recommendations that put it at a slightly positive 3% reserve, I think something like that. And it's gone through environment finance and additional changes have put that one at a higher reserve yet. The Clean Water Fund, the first year had a positive balance. The second year we're looking at a $963,000 deficit in the negative. The commissioner of MMB is able to do some things internally to manage the funds so they aren't overspent, and there's $1 million cancellation that puts that fund positive that was done, but only very slightly positive. The Parks and Trails Fund had an ending balance for the fiscal biennium of $156,000, so that one was positive. And then the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund had a deficit in the first year of $568,000 and a deficit in 17 of $1.68 million. And that's all, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Anytime you think I need a little help, it's just fine to step right in. So there are various options to deal with this. And I will say that one step has been taken by MMB. And I would like to note that they have the statutory authority to do this. And they have acted. And I will just read what I received from MMB. MMB will cancel $1 million from the 2011 Small Community Wastewater Treatment Program appropriation at PFA. Based on the appropriate appropriation language, any unencumbered funds from this appropriation will automatically cancel at the end of this fiscal year. The program currently has a $4.8 million in unencumbered funds and only two near-ready construction projects totaling about $3 million. Canceling $1 million from this appropriation will leave $3.8 million for PFA to finish out the fiscal year and will resolve the deficit in this fund. Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Our fund statement assumes that all the fiscal year 16 appropriations will be spent this fiscal year. This is not the case for the Historical Society. Some of their FY16 appropriations will go unspent and will carry forward into the next fiscal year for spending. If we recognize this in our fund statement, we resolve the deficit for the current fiscal year. For fiscal year 17, MMB will authorize agencies to allot only 97% of their FY17 appropriations, holding back 3% of each appropriation for spending in the following fiscal year of fiscal year 18. We believe this restriction will be manageable by the agencies and will not cause hardship for grantees. This will present the fiscal year 17 deficit. And this is the approach recommended by MMB. They instituted it last week. We still, if we chose, could do statute to change that. And these are options that we may or may not consider. One option is to just allow the MMB proposal to continue. So, comments or questions? All right. Seeing none, we will proceed with the bill before us. As I said, House File 3829 is our vehicle bill. We anticipate to have some amendments the next time that we meet. I think we only have one today, and that's an author's amendment. But when we meet again, it will be to deal with putting this bill into its final form. We'll have any policy amendments that you choose to bring up, but I would anticipate the most discussion, the most time will be spent in going over the Lessard-Sams bill, and you can have amendments ready at that point for that one as well. So, with that, I have an A1 amendment, which is somewhere here. This just, as you note on page 2, line 2.28, we made a little mistake here, and it should say after instead of before. So on that amendment, any discussion? Well, I move the amendment. Those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The bill is now amended and is in the form that I would like it. It is the vehicle bill, and the issue here deals with the report from a couple years ago by the Office of the Legislative Auditor. In the very back, there was a list of recommendations, and as I've reviewed them, the second, third, fourth, and fifth we have dealt with in some way, dealing with conflicts of interest and some of the spending, but we have not dealt with the first one, which is the legislature should consider establishing a process that legislators could use to obtain information on past funding sources and levels for programs and projects being considered for funding with legacy money. And as anyone knows and who has been connected with this committee for any amount of time, a continual question that comes up is whether this money is supplementing or supplanting. Yeah, and the constitutional amendment, legacy money is not supposed to take the place or use of past spending, historic spending practices. So, I don't know that this is going to be a magic wand that solves this question from being asked in the future, but at least we are making an attempt to find a way to deal with that question, which comes up very often. So, we have With us, someone from the Office of Legislative Auditor, Mr. Nobles could not be with us today, but would you take the testifier table, please, and identify yourself and whatever comments you have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Judy Randall. I'm Deputy Legislative Auditor for the Program Evaluation Division. I'm happy to be here today. As Chair Erdahl mentioned, we released this report several years ago, 2011, on the Legacy Amendment. And in one of the chapters, we talked about kind of ongoing concerns that we thought were things that the legislature and really all of us involved in legacy funding were going to need to address as we continue to use the legacy money and observe and monitor and oversee how it's being used. And so as the chair mentioned, one of the key ongoing concerns we identified was this definition of the supplement not substitute provision, which is outlined in the Constitution in this amendment. And really our discussion talked about how difficult it is to determine whether a use of the money is supplementing money that had been used previously for a similar program or whether it was supplanting that money. And so while we didn't have kind of a magic answer in our report about how to determine it, what we did recommend, as the chair pointed out, was for the legislature to have some way to track the use of the money. And so that as you get these funding proposals put before you, you have as much information as possible to determine whether you think this is kind of a new use of the funding. And so the proposal of the chair has in this bill certainly gets at establishing a process for legislators to use to obtain the information on the past funding. It did provide, and I don't know if it's been distributed, in kind of the section of the report for members. It starts at Chapter 3 and runs through the discussion related to supplement, not supplant, and our recommendation is on page 51 of that handout. But really, I think the chair represented all of our points really well. Thank you.
Now, the other concerns here, as I mentioned, administrative cost, conflict of interest, anything else that you feel needs to be addressed?
Well, Mr. Chair, I do think that looking at legacy money, frankly, is going to be an ongoing endeavor for our office for the life of the legacy amendment. I think there are things that continue to come up and new uses and different interpretations as we go forward. So I think it's kind of a constant vigilance. I know our office is routinely doing financial audits related to the legacy funds, and actually one of our program evaluations this year is going to be looking at the outcomes of the Clean Water Fund, uses of the Clean Water Fund. So we will yet again be dipping into looking at the legacy amendment and the uses of the money in our evaluation side as well.
Well, thank you. I'm sure that even some of the committee members will find it reassuring that you will be consistently monitoring this money as we go into the future.
Thank you.
No names. I'm not going to say any names. But, any questions or comments of Ms. Randall? What are you guys? So easy today. Oh, good. Thank you. Representative Freiberg.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I feel like we need to ask one question at least. Does a provision like this, I believe the plan's just to lay it over for possible.
Yes, this will be laid over.
Okay. I mean, do provisions like this need to go to, I mean, since the Parks and Trails Fund is involved, go to Environment Finance or Government Operations or anything like that?
Representative Freiberg, I don't think so. But that does bring up a couple of things, and Ms. Randall, maybe you can answer. It was recommended that we do the arts and culture portion and the parks and trails in this particular bill. The other two accounts were not included. Could you explain why?
Mr. Chair, no, I'm sorry, I cannot.
Okay, then let me try.
Okay.
I believe that the other two accounts already have a board that has jurisdiction over these funds as they come forward. You have the Clean Water Council, you have Lasard Sams, that in their recommendations should be taking this into account?
Mr. Chair, members, that's certainly true, that there is kind of this additional level of oversight, thank you for the prompt, with the Clean Water Council and the LSRSAM's Council. I would note, however, that of course the legislature has the, you know, ability and the prerogative and the responsibility to ultimately be the one to authorize any of the spending from all of the funds. So maybe this is your test case, and then if you're finding that this is useful on these two funds, it may be something you want to expand to the other funds, but that's left to you and your wisdom.
Okay, thank you. Representative Kahn.
There are two things I would like to do, and I hope that this bill is a mechanism for it or that something else may be. Two things I would like to do is at one point when the auditor charges something and there's a payback, the money doesn't go into legacy, it goes into the general fund. And I think that money ought to go back into legacy instead of into the general. We had that in one of the bills, and when we took out a whole bunch of stuff that people didn't want related to the legislative order, we took this out, which had no objection, where there was no objection to it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's the wrong direction. The payment should go into the legislative auditor's budget, not into the general fund. It's the legislative auditor that gets reimbursed for those issues. And the something else that I wanted to. Oh, and then the other thing is, I think this particularly applies to the clean water, but it may apply to some of these other things, is that people are incredibly enthusiastic about new programs and a new program and a new thing to do and a whole bunch of new stuff coming from the governor, whether it's legacy or not. Boy, I'd sure like to put a proportion, and I think I've had this written, a proportion of legacy money into evaluating these programs after they've been done, so if we can get an idea of which ones are more effective than others, instead of just calling for a full legislative audit review, to have some mechanism of evaluation. And I think we're much more enthusiastic about doing a new program than about looking and seeing what programs work. So I hope to get support for amendments that go in that direction. Those two amendments are two that I'm going to work on.
Hey, thank you, Representative Kahn. And again, when next we meet, we'll be considering all amendments. What we're trying to do is to deal with the legacy fund in as transparent a way as possible, and trying to fulfill the requirements of the constitutional amendment as best we can, given the situation that there are some gray areas in here that may never be completely addressed. But let's get as close as we can to doing some of these things. So I will say, between now and when we meet again, members of the public or legislators that have any particular concerns or ways that they think this should be tweaked, my door is, of course, open to do that. At this point, anyone from the public wish to comment? No one wishes to comment today. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be hearing from you between now and the next meeting or at the next meeting. Representative Murphy.
You know, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I'll just say, as I have read through this, and I'm glad we're going to have the discussion, and I'm glad you're giving us some space. But what I've been hearing from people just generally is questions about what does it mean, how does it work, et cetera. So I think it's great that we're going to be able to have another opportunity to talk about it. And I bet that people will have, you know, thoughts or questions at that next.
Well, thank you, Representative Murphy. Again, this the genesis of this is I looked over the OLA report again, recognized that this is an area that is an ongoing concern, brought in Mr. Nobles and talked to him about it, and this is the legislation that resulted from that. Again, that's not to say that we can't tweak it, and if there are some concerns that we can't address them. But what we're trying to do is move toward, you know, the ultimate goal of, in some way, having a process to address the supplanting and supplementing, which otherwise, and will anyway, no matter what we do, this will go into the future, but let's at least put it into the process. So certainly we'll be talking more about it. Representative Kahn.
Well, one of the issues that has kind of come up is that with, and I haven't read through this whole report, which I obviously should have, but one of the, it is that we say it looks like supplanting when we put legacy money in and then we've cut back on the general fund appropriation that was going to those groups. And the rule of thumb that we kind of used when we were at the times that we had to cut budgets is that it was perfectly appropriate if the whole budget was being cut a certain percent, it was appropriate to cut legacy funding to that same extent. That wasn't doing more of a supplanting instead of supplementing. But, you know, so that was something that we could look at to try and see that. So that wasn't then supplanting if the legacy funds were cut back to the same extent as the general fund appropriations were.
And that's why we're trying to put a process into place. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, on that same point, and I spoke to you earlier this session about this issue, that if it was possible to receive some information from DNR in committee about, especially on their grants that they give out, competitive grants that they give out, and especially for parks and trails, because we don't have any comparison if we're not on the Parks and Trails Committee or on the Environment Committee. And it seems to me that the people that talk to me the most about their trails or their parks that they're going to apply for the Parks and Trails grant from the new advisory committee and through that process, but they're not even talking about applying for the grants that are in regular DNR grants, and some of them it seems to me would be
a good point.
Possible for DNR's established grant program. And so if we could have maybe, if there's time, I don't want to press, but to have some kind of report on what DNR is spending through their program, so that we'd know if it was supplanting or...
I think you raise a valid question, Representative Murphy, and it's particularly interesting in that the DNR, or Parks and Trails, actually can access funding from three different accounts, and that leads to some of what you're talking about. Here he comes, Mr. Meyer. You could if you want to address some of this now. Otherwise, you could feel free to do it at another meeting too.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources, and we will come back if we're able to. I would not have to. We'd love to come back to your next meeting and have a more thorough discussion on this issue. There are other funding opportunities out there, but there's not a lot of money. So we have other grant programs that are available, and I'll leave this for committee staff, and you can distribute it to them. But there's a local trail connections program that's in Minnesota Statute 85.019. There's not a lot of money that's been funded in that. Last 2016, the amount available was $1 million, and we had $3 million of requests for those dollars. The high point of that funding was in 2013 with $1,466,000, and we had almost $4,300,000 worth of requests. So there's a lot of interest in that. We also have our outdoor recreation grant program that was funded with LACON money. Obviously, LACON money from the federal government has been going down as well. So we do have other grant programs, and we can certainly discuss that with you, and the grant applications that we receive for the Parks and Trails legacy dollars as well. I think it'd be a great opportunity to talk about that. And also, to Representative Kahn's question, you know, effectiveness, where are these things? We're working, trying to do some of those things. You know, there's other entities that are trying to do things out there as well, but we do need to be able to figure out what is the biggest bang for our buck. What kind of investment are we making? How are we building this legacy so at the end of the 25 years we can look back and say, this is what we've done. We've met the voters' demands or request. And the other piece that we need to have a conversation on in this committee and as a legislature, I believe, is how do we fund the ongoing maintenance of these things? You know, parks and trails are loved to death. The trails are loved to death. It's a very popular thing to do. I mean, bike riding is exploding. We always want to put more trails on the ground, but it's always hard for us to come back and say, okay, we got cracks and we got to seal them and we need to repave them. So we need to have that discussion as well as with the bonding committee and with the legislature in total. Trails are general funded. Parks have some dedicated accounts that people pay to do, you know, camp and go entrance fees and things like that, but there is no dedicated source of funding for trail activities, and that's where we've been struggling as a department, is trying to figure out how to fund that activity.
You know, there is a bill that's been introduced in the Senate by Representative Newman, the House by Representative Grunhagen, to have a trail fee. Do you have any comments on that type of legislation?
Be hard to get the stickers to stick on their foreheads. Mr. Chairman, no. Realistically, it's difficult to figure out how to fund that type of program. General fund, I mean, so does the kindergartner who's out riding with his parents need to have a sticker? Do people who use the trails to come to work every day need to pay? There's also been discussion within the industry of some kind of excise tax program on bicycles, similarly we have with Pittman Robertson Walla Pro dollars, which I think is people are buying these expensive bikes. You know, some of these newer fat tire bikes are thousands and thousands of dollars, and they want to be able to ride somewhere. I don't think that would be a problem. It'd probably be a problem putting something together at the state level to try to figure out how to do it. But I think there's a lot of interest in people who are willing to pay something, whether it's a registration sticker or not, I'm not quite sure.
Well, Mr. Meyer, I'm starting a little far afield here regarding the bill, but let's, if we can, get a more detailed presentation to solve some of Representative Kahn.
We'd be glad to come back at your next hearing and present that
information. Right. Thank you. Representative Kahn.
Talking about those cracks, and I once hit one of those long vertical cracks in a trailer, went over and ended up with three broken ribs. Should I have sued DNR for that?
Mm-hmm. Mount Myers personally.
Is that I don't think we have enough legal advice in here to help you with that today. Thank you, Mr. Meyer.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Otherwise,
hey.
Whoa. I'm sorry. Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair, on a lighter note, I happen to see Mr. Nobles going through the hallway with some esteemed author's book, and I just wonder if we can trust his judgment going forward to being unbiased to this committee based on his book purchases. Not to judge someone by what they read, but...
Well, Representative Lilly, I'm sure that the esteemed legislative auditor is even more knowledgeable today than he was last week. Any other further comments?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Torkelson.
I believe the esteemed auditor's knowledge has been supplemented.
That's certainly, I would agree with that.
Well,
all right,
plain.
This House file, my number?
38. Yeah.
House File 3829 will be laid over for possible inclusion in our final bill. Any other business to come before us today? Otherwise, this is quick and easy. Any else? Well, King, this case is closed.